Jesus raised his eyes to heaven and said, "And now I am no more in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. While I was with them, I kept those you had given me true to your name. I have guarded them, and not one of them is lost, except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world hated them, because they are not of this world, even as I am not of this world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you would keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world, and for their sake I consecrate myself, so that they may also be consecrated in truth." The Gospel of the Lord. This passage is one of the greatest of the Gospels. It is full of truths, but we cannot yet fully comprehend them. The communion of saints is the central theme. If we keep true to God's name, we become one body in life and experience, and we are united with him in spirit. Jesus does not say here that we become one with him or one with the Father, but that we become one like them. They are one not only by equality of substance, but also in will. And therefore, Jesus prays that the disciples become like God in mind and in love, Jesus being the mediator. Wherever there is division or competition, the cause of Christianity is harmed, and the prayer of Jesus that his followers may be one is ignored. The communion of saints consists of fellowship with the Father and the Son through the Spirit, fellowship with the saints in glory, and fellowship with other Christians here on earth. And this whole belongs to the mystical body of Christ, to be brought about by the cross and resurrection. And this fellowship is a greater bond than one of blood relationship, and this unity is expressed in public worship and in the sacraments. Saint Cyril of Alexandria writes, "We are all one in the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, one in identity of relationship, one in a likeness revealed in devotion, and one in receiving the holy flesh of Christ and to sharing the one Holy Spirit." Jesus states quite emphatically that while he was with them, he kept the disciples true to his Father's name. Because the Father gave them to Jesus, by keeping them true to himself, and he and the Father are one, it means that they were true to the Father and respond to Jesus by the movement of the Holy Spirit. The disciples, no doubt, thought that they were safer spiritually in the physical presence of Jesus. Perhaps some of us feel the same today, that keeping true to his name would be so much easier if he were here in the flesh. Maybe we forget that we have received the Holy Spirit as our aid and counselor. The Father does not hear us apart from the Son. Jesus distinguishes the persons, but is not dividing the nature, so that when the Son was keeping his disciples by his bodily presence, the Father was waiting to succeed Jesus on his departure from this world by sending the Holy Spirit, both holding them in spiritual power. None are lost except those who cast themselves out as Jesus did. Glory comes to Jesus when those he chooses to stay with him bring him honor. He has no will to cast them out, but when they cast themselves out, he does not compel them to draw back to himself. He says, speaking of the faithful, that he is glorified in them, and no one is glorified by those over whom one has no power. There are two things that Jesus offers in this passage. They are joy and a warning. He was offering them joy. Overcoming our baser natures brings us joy and fulfillment. He warns them and us that the world will hate them. Christian values and standards will be rejected and ridiculed by the world. But our reward for keeping faithful would bring us joy. And when we fail to live completely as his followers should, it can be because we try in our own strength instead of seeking the help of God. Jesus said, "I do not ask you to remove them from the world." Now that he was about to leave the world as man, he was leaving them to preach his word. He says, "Sanctify them in the truth." God sanctified them in his word. That is, they are heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. And he states, "They are not of this world, even as I am not of this world." In other words, that they are made citizens of heaven. They are made holy by the gift of the Spirit and sound doctrine, sanctified through his word, and armed in this way, they and we can go and preach the word worldwide.